Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. It's hard to imagine the sound of jazz without the saxophone. But when Belgium's Adolf Sax invented the instrument sometime around 1840, he intended it to be a classical instrument, one used in the orchestra. But Sax was not just a successful inventor, he was also a bit of a jerk, and succeeded in alienating everyone who might have used his instrument. Fortunately, the members of the Prism Saxophone Quartet never had a chance to meet Adolf Sax, and they've set about to create a classical music repertoire for his instrument. The Prism Quartet is here in the studio, part of their 25th anniversary season, and they're going to start us off with this music by David Biedenbender from a piece called You've Been Talking in Your Sleep, live on Soundcheck. Just a little bit of new music from David Biedenbender. The piece is called You've Been Talking in Your Sleep. It gets its official world premiere tonight here in New York, but you got just a little preview of it, a little excerpt of that piece from the Prism Saxophone Quartet. Matthew Levy, Tamor Sullivan, Zachary Sheeman, and Tim McAllister are the four sax players in the quartet. Matt and Tamor joining me at the microphones. And guys, welcome back to WNYC to Soundcheck.
Thank you. Thanks.
Matt, it's 25 years that the quartet has been taking on old Adolf Sax's, vision of the saxophone as a classical instrument. Why was he not able to make that happen back in his day?
He did have success. I mean, the instrument was integrated into some work. The earliest quartet is actually written in 1857. By Jean-Baptiste Sangelet. So there was early chamber music, but it wasn't championed in the same way that other more traditional classical instruments were. Mm-hmm. And so we see even in the year 2010, this ongoing effort to build a repertoire.
So, and Tamor, it seems like there was a little personality thing in Sax's day as well at work.
That's right. He wasn't making a lot of friends while he was doing very inventive things musically. He did alienate a lot of people as well. But at the same time, he created a whole body of repertoire by composers that we haven't heard so much of.
Yeah,
but he created commissioned a lot of works for his new instrument, so there would be a repertoire so on.
How was the early saxophone? I mean, was it a good enough instrument that a classical musician could play it and get the kind of intonation, you know, that he or she would have expected? I guess it would have been all he's back in those days, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, it was a very fine instrument. There have been lots of, obviously, modifications made to it in the last 160 years with regards to intonation and response and so on. But in large part, what we're playing today is quite similar to what was created in 1840.
In terms of the instrument,
right.
not the music. Because, Matt, it turns out that however, you know, marginal its place in classical music has been, it's become, you know, a standard sound in American jazz.
Yeah.
You hear it in R&B. Of course, band music, marching
right.
brass band music. How did that happen?
Yeah, the instrument was just had great appeal, and in the 20s, as jazz was sort of emerging, it was taken up by some jazz and ragtime artists and just became this, I think, had this sort of magnetism where musicians were sort of just gravitating to it. And at one point, it was one of the most popular instruments in that era. You know, there were one out of, you know, seven households had a saxophone or something.
Hmm.
So that there were, you know, it developed a great deal of popularity, but there was this, it continued to have a tradition in classical music, you know.
Well, and Debussy wrote for it.
Exactly.
Glazunov wrote for it.
It's just,
again, you know, you're not talking about major
exactly.
pieces. What's the reputation of the saxophone players in the classical music world? I mean, are you guys considered sort of oddballs, kooks, eccentrics?
It really depends what classical world you're in. Sometimes, of course, in the orchestral world, the saxophone is brought in for certain pieces, whether it's Ravel or Prokofiev, or, you know, currently our Tim McAllister is playing with L.A. Phil and doing John Adams' City Noir. But in the contemporary world, which is one in which we reside more often, it's really become, I'd say, sort of a staple of the contemporary classical world since, you know, for the last 40, 50 years, I think composers internationally have been really drawn to the versatility of the instrument, both as a lyrical instrument, but also in terms of all of the extended techniques and the sort of dynamic qualities of the saxophone.
Yeah. The piece you guys played, I mean, that was like a two-minute piece, four players. It had, I don't know how many rhythms going on
yeah.
in there. So
it's a good example of composers working primarily in concert music, drawing on the instrument's heritage in other kinds of music.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's sort of one of the fun parts about it is that, I mean, we're classical saxophonists, but we have to be able to play a whole range of music in order to, you know, represent composers and all of the styles that are happening right now.
Because that is the instrument's history.
Exactly.
Even though it's not the history its inventor intended. We're speaking with and listening to the Prism Saxophone Quartet. They are performing tonight. The excerpt you heard from David Biedenbender, you can hear the whole piece in its official world premiere tonight at the Thalia Theater at Symphony Space, starting at 7:30. And in addition to David Biedenbender, the program features works by David Little, David Ludwig, David Lang, David Laganella. I begin to see a trend here.
Mm-hmm.
The program is, in fact, called Dave. Why not John?
You know, actually, this program started off with a desire to play a piece by David Lang, Revolutionary Etudes. And our soprano player, Tim, said, you know, there are a couple of other composers I'd like to propose that we commission. The Lang was actually commissioned by another quartet, the New Century Quartet. But we hold an annual world premieres concert, and Tim suggested David Little and David Biedenbender, the piece we just played. And we thought that was a great idea. We liked their music, and sort of a light bulb went off, and we thought, you know, there is something happening here, serendipity or what have you. But if we added a couple of more Daves, you know, we might have something. So,
and indeed you do. Now, David Laganella, you're going to play a movement from his piece called Leafless Trees. And now, he's not a sax player, right, Tamor?
That's right, he's not.
What does he play?
He's
electric guitar.
Electric guitar, yeah.
Is it hard to find composers who are familiar with the instrument, familiar enough with it to write effectively for it?
You know, one of the things we really like to do is find composers who have never written for the instrument and approach them and see what they come up with. And David has a lot of amazing influences. I think
And you're going to have to stop using David now because
Laganella.
You're quickly lose track of which one you're
and
talking about.
I think we
about.
Have four DLs on the program,
right.
So we can't use their initials either. And actually, so David Laganello is a great example. He sent us his piece maybe about four weeks ago or so for the finished version, and some of it was not really playable, actually. And so we worked on it quite a bit and then sent him back some comments and said, look, you know, a lot of this is amazing. Some of it we can't play, and you won't get a lot of performances. And so he adjusted some of it and came up with the piece that you're going to hear tonight.
All right. The world premiere is at Symphony Space tonight in the Thalia Theater at 7:30. But let's hear this movement from it. The Prism Saxophone Quartet with me in our soundcheck studio. Part two of Leafless Trees is called Separated from the Others. The composer is David Laganella. He wrote it for the Prism Quartet. The official premiere is tonight, but here's a preview in our soundcheck studio. That is music from David Laganella. That is some bleak, wintry stuff for a hot summer day. It's called Separated from the Others, from a larger piece called Leafless Trees, which gets its official world premiere tonight at 7:30 in the Thalia Theater at Symphony Space, part of a program that Prism is doing called Dave, with works by David Laganella and David Little and David Lang and David Ludwig and David Biedenbender and Ilana Reynero de Haan. And Tim, how does Ilana feel about being rechristened Dave for this event tonight?
Yeah, I was asking Matt that early on. Well, it's been part of our annual tradition to feature a young emerging composer that did their training at the Walden School in residence in New Hampshire every summer, and that's been a part of our mission to make sure that commission program continues, and we coordinated this whole program with our annual premieres concert, so we had to give her a nice nickname to fit in. And she's had fun with it, because as a result, her name's appeared in all of the press for this concert.
That's Tim McAllister. Zachary Sheeman from Prism also joining me at the microphone. We spoke to Matthew Levy and Tamor Sullivan before. And Zach, the instrument, the saxophone, is known as a jazz instrument. Do you guys all play jazz in addition?
Sure. We each play a little bit of jazz. For each of us, it's a little bit different with our background. But we find ourselves as a quartet, for the most part, doing classical music and contemporary music. But a lot of times we find even that music is influenced by jazz. Mm-hmm. As the case is, it's known so much as a jazz instrument.
And what about, you know, the audience that you guys are? I mean, because of the unusual history of the saxophone on the margins of classical music, do you find it harder to get the traditional classical audience in? Do you find it paradoxically easier to get, you know, the audience that the classical people really want, the casual listeners? What's it been like, Tim?
I think it changes. The dynamic of that changes, it feels, from year to year, season to season, because we will have multiple touring programs that essentially appease to different types of audiences. If a presenter wants to bring us in to play Scott Joplin rags, and they know that's going to bring in maybe kind of their older crowd, mm-hmm. possibly, then we're prepared to do that. If we're going to play a program of contemporary music in New York, I think we have to be smarter about what we're programming. We're not going to put on some Saint-Gelais, you know. Or so we have to be careful. And about 10 years ago, we branched out and decided to put on some Xenakis. He wrote a wonderful saxophone quartet written for the Rashers. And when we programmed that piece in New York, we had a huge audience of standing room only. And so it started to really get us looking at thematic programming, mm-hmm. and trying to make sure that we tapped into different types of core audiences. And we found our core in a place like New York. And when we go out into kind of the heartland of America, we have to choose differently sometimes.
We're speaking with the Prism Quartet. Their program tonight is simply called Dave. And the most recent CD, though, Zach, is Martin Bresnik, a composer who's been very active in Yale and on the new music scene here in New York for a while. And you guys are going to play a movement from his piece, Everything Must Go. Is this one of those works that echoes the history of the saxophone in popular music?
Right, a little bit. He takes influence from one of his favorite groups, Steely Dan, and that's actually where the title of the piece comes from, Everything Must Go. But the piece obviously has more deeper meaning for him and for us as well. We had the opportunity to record it back in the fall, and the CD is recently released.
Well, let's hear the third movement, right? This is the third part of Martin Bresnik's piece, Everything Must Go. The Prism Quartet has recently recorded it, but we'll hear a live performance in the Soundcheck studio. Thank you. That is music from the American composer Martin Bresnik, part three of his work Everything Must Go, which was recently recorded by the Prism Saxophone Quartet, but you heard them playing live here in our Soundcheck studio today. And they're headed uptown now to the Thalia Theater at Symphony Space for tonight's program called Dave, studied with world premieres and composers named David. That's at 7:30 tonight. My thanks to the Prism Quartet for playing for us here in the studio today. And that'll do it for Soundcheck this time around. Next time, let the jams begin as beach season kicks off. We conduct our annual search for the Song of the Summer. Listeners, we want to know what you think. Go to our website at wnyc.org/soundcheck to cast your vote for the single that you think will be the soundtrack of the summer. Also next time, Cameron Carpenter talks about giving classical organ a glam rock makeover. Our technical director is Irene Trudell, our program produced by Brian Wise with Daoud Tyler Amin. Our senior producer is Joel Meyer. We had help from Lauren Harrington.